your favourite meal. I've been very fortunate. One of the better decisions I've made in life was marrying a really good cook. And Raywin makes this particularly good meal that is chicken wrapped up in bacon and then smothered over with mushroom sauce. And it is delectable. Really good, amongst many other things. So one of the things that really, really amazes me, and I've been coming to church now, how old am I now? 59. And I've been coming to church one place or another since I was about 17. I've been in many, many different types of churches all up and down New Zealand, depending where I was living, studying, and hanging out. But one of the things that never ceases to amaze me when you get in as part of a church family is that there are so many stories. And today is a little bit about just sharing some stories. So before the first person comes up, I want you to answer this question. What do you know about Right Track? Just talk to the person beside you, and while you're doing that, I'll ask Rebecca to come on up.
So, do you want to say anything else
at all? Oh, this is Rebecca.
There you go. That's nice and simple. So, I'm involved in the Right Track program, and for those that don't know me, I normally sneak in late and sit in the very back seat and then sneak out, so you may not actually see me here. But I'm a nurse, and I've been a nurse down in the hospital for about 22-odd years. So I heard about this program when I was in Australia and made some inquiries, and I thought this sounds like a really good program. Let's try and bring this to Southland. So that's kind of what we've done over time. So what is it? So it's basically a transformational educational program for driver rehabilitation. So people are referred via the courts for any manner of driving offences, so whether that's drunk driving, driving while disqualified, lots of different driving, so it's not just an alcohol-related program. And it was predominantly from 15 to 25-year-olds, but what we realised is that not only young people make bad choices, we can all, at any age and stage, make bad choices. So the oldest that we've had on the program is 69, and I'm not into ageism, so I think that I did try and push for an extended age group. And it's quite interesting, the young people can, it's that intergenerational thing that you were saying, young people can learn from older people and vice versa. So the old people think, oh gosh, why didn't I learn way back when I was 18? And the 18-year-old thinks, gosh, I never want to be there when I'm 69. So it does have some advantages. There is self-referrals as well, so it's not just necessarily via the courts, but there is some self-payment required for that. It's a very successful program, and it does change people's lives forever, but it doesn't change them into eternity, and so it doesn't truly have a spiritual significance, but it potentially does have, and we'll talk about that at the end. So it's basically quite a confrontational program. It doesn't kind of sugar things up. It tells things as they are in reality. So it makes people aware of the seriousness of their offending. It helps them to be accountable for their actions, aware of the consequences, and learn from the experience and basically not go on to reoffend. It is that we go through basically 42 hours or 6 weeks, often in the evenings, and they hear, we go through a mock court process, and where someone is sentenced, someone is selected out of the group and sentenced in the dock. And it just helps, even though they know it's mock, it feels very real. They hear about a judge who, their experiences, they don't like sending people to prison. but they have to do what is best for the law and for the community. We go through A&E and they see the raw reality of what can happen from that perspective. We go to a mortuary and see what happens at post-mortem. They hear about a father's anguish and sorrow in losing his daughter to a drunk driving car crash. And so it's very very raw and also humorous as well. There's lots of laughs and there's a few tears on the way as well. So it involves, it's really promoting safety through choice, really making good choices and decision making for the future. And so we don't really care what they've done, and I always tell them, I ring them up initially, and I say, you know, we don't really care about your past, we want to acknowledge it. And if they've, some of them don't have just driving related, they have violence and lots of other criminological kind of activity. And so I always tell them, you know, I don't really care what you've done in your past. I mean, none of us are perfect and we've all made bad choices, but, you know, we won't accept any bad behaviour on this program. It's a bit of a tough love program. But I say, you know, what we're more interested in is what your choices you're going to make in the future, because, you know, you can make, everyone can change. So these are some of the messages or some of the quotes that people have said over time. So it was a wake-up call for me. Extraordinary, I'm a different person now. So it's even going back to communication. How do you communicate with people? And there's a little bit of humour and role plays and things like that. So it is quite good. One thing that I notice over time is that when they first come in, they're kind of a little bit downtrodden, and of course they've been in the justice system, and that's never a fun place to be, and it's, you know, full of shame. And and often by the end of it, they're, you know, they're holding their heads a little bit higher, they're a little bit brighter, they feel more confident and things like that. So it does actually make a positive change. And some people have totally turned their lives around and got jobs. And although predominantly most of the people will have employment, that's not just what you think is low socioeconomic, low, you know, no unemployment. It's, we've had some really successful people like travel consultants, stock agents, lots of different people who have just made some really poor choices behind the wheel. And so Te Ara Tuku Pai is basically a journey to success is the Māori interpretation of that. Some of the statistics is 80% non-recidivism rate, so that's independent police data. They kind of look at our referrals and then they track them over time, and so that's pretty significant. They say that any program, if there's a 20% kind of change, that's good. So it does have huge huge impact and effects. And one of the things is, which can be a struggle for people, is they have to bring along a support person. And some of these people, I've realised there's some very lonely people out there in community who don't actually have anybody. It's quite sad, really. So some of them will bring their spouse or their sister or their friend. And we did recently have a young fella who was 19, and he had no one, and we just had to refer him back to the court. So that was kind of hard. So it would be quite good to have a pool of males particularly who wouldn't mind coming along to each session and perhaps linking up with them in the week, because I think that's where the spiritual significance will be. Having those connections with this people. So he couldn't even get his mother or father to come along and support him at 19, and I just thought that was pretty sad, really. So that was the only time that we've ever had to turn someone back to court because of no support person. We'll try and find, we've got a volunteer base as well, and so there'll be, I don't know, we have 8, they generally seem to be females, but we try and have it so that there's a male connecting to a male and vice versa. So if we have a female that's got no support person, we've got lots of options, but not so many in the... So if anyone's interested, just let me know. And it is, the great thing about it is that it's a collaborative approach between a lot of community organisations. So Road Safety Southland, Fire and Emergency, we go along to and have a rescue session, and they look at what happens in a car crash, and they get to use the jaws of life. It's a very unique experience. Not many people in the community can just do that. Department of Corrections are involved as well. McDonald and Western is the funeral home that help us to and give them an education about what happens. The New Zealand Police are heavily involved and they really, really like it. They were quite cynical when it came into Invercargill in 2018. They saw the list of people coming onto the program and thought, he can't change. But after a couple of years, they're totally converted and they think it's absolutely great. And I think it's a great program to be involved in, quite a privilege, and it's nice to be able to bless others with gifts and things that we've been have potentially. I think it's essentially it's a restorative, how I see it, is a restorative justice program. I was involved in Angel Tree in prison, which is a prison ministries, and that's not specifically restorative justice, but the Sycamore program is. But this is, I think it's an element to restorative justice which has biblical foundations. And it's all about grace, giving people second chances, and God's given us his grace, and it's nice to be able to pass that on to others. And as I said, yeah, we just currently need male support, potential male support people who can walk alongside these people, and that'll be hopefully making those ongoing connections. That's pretty much me. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. I do really appreciate what you've said this morning, and in the sense that you are neck deep in connection with community, and that is just fantastic. That's a great environment. Really, really appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Lovely, thank you.
Thank you so much, Rebecca. Andrew, can you come on up and tell us a little bit about what you were up to during the last school holidays? This is Andrew Perry. Sorry, you've got two Andrews coming up, so sure. Andrew one. So, Andrew, what were you up to during last school holidays? Tell us a little bit about that.
I went up to a computer camp. I helped lead at a technology-themed camp up at Waihola. There are about 17 boys. And the message was on the Book of Acts. The idea that after the Gospels, Jesus went up to heaven. The Holy Spirit came down and the gospel went out, which was a strange message to share at a somewhat evangelistic camp. But I think it was quite helpful because most of the boys there had already heard the gospel before. And there were some really, really good messages there. The most interesting part for me was some of the discussions I had with the boys. The boys were slightly older. It was 12 or 13 to 16-year-old boys. So they had some understandings already. One of the boys was a Muslim, and one of the other boys was had a belief in naturalism, the idea that anything can be explained by natural causes. And both of those boys were respectful and really good to have discussions with and share the gospel with. I especially enjoyed some of those hard questions from that second boy. During the messages, he liked to talk to whoever was beside him. So I strategically placed myself beside him. We had some quite good short discussions about what the person had spoken about. He asked some hard questions like, how do you measure the Holy Spirit? Some great discussions, and it was really cool being in a place where I could share the gospel, but also have in a safe place where, thinking of that boy, he was okay if I'd said I don't know the answer to that question. That was really cool. So it was great to be able to go somewhere and share the gospel. We played some computer games. We taught them some PowerShell computer programming. We did some robotics in Lego, Lego robotics, and electronic circuitry, and played some games, really enjoying this week along with the boys. Led some really, really good discussions, and was nice to be able to live life with those boys for a week there. Yeah.
So during the week, what's your occupation, Andrew?
I work with computers. I'm a business intelligence analyst at SRT, and that means I help staff find the information they need to do their work.
Thank you very much, Andrew.
Thank you.
You're just getting the start of the sense of story. Embedded in everybody's life, there are just a myriad of stories. And I just wanted to highlight some of those today because one of the privileges of being on leadership in the church is that you get to hear a few more stories than perhaps the average, but there is so many stories embedded in the family of God, and I just wanted to create an opportunity for some of those stories to be heard. Andrew, can you come on out here? Second Andrew. Now, last week, for those of you who were here, Pete Lowell came and spoke to us about the pretty sensitive subject of depression. And he highlighted a book that he was using or that he recommended. And I noticed afterwards that there was a fair scrum trying to find out if we could get access to this book. But Andrew, you were successful.
Yes.
You went to the top and you were head of the class. So you grabbed the book last week and you started reading it. We had a chat through the week. And I just wanted you to, A, tell us what's the book and what's one thing you've learnt this week as you've been reading it.
Okay, I've never spoken up here before, so it's always a new experience. The book that I've read is called Out of the Cave, and it was actually secured by somebody else for me. But I've read it very carefully so far and have been quite impressed by it. It discusses depression with Christians and gives you a bit of a formula for how to deal with it with some of the steps. It breaks it into both a physical and a spiritual experience. It tells you to how to eat, don't neglect that, but how there are three parts to how your life is controlled with the soul and the spirit. And it also relates back to certain Bible texts. I've found it is a book that you would read and probably need to reread again and take some notes on. I've been on quite a long journey myself and am coming through that onto a better side. I would highly recommend anyone who is suffering from depression, or even if you don't suffer from depression, to read it, because it has a statistic that basically says every one of us is going to come across somebody who will be suffering sometime in their life. And the book itself provides a good way of starting to help them deal with it. I've found my own way, but the book, I just wish he'd been here about 6 or 7 months earlier. Mm. And
you were saying after, when we were talking during the week, what was one thing you were going to do after you'd finished reading it?
After I finished reading the book, well, even before that, I wanted to pay the man for the book, but he wouldn't accept it. So I said, how about I buy two, give them to you, and you hand them out to somebody else? And he thought that was a good idea, so that is what I'm going to do. And this book will be maybe in our library or maybe up the front. And you can pick it up and brush through it, read, like I do, three different chapters to see if it's going to be interesting, and then get into it from the start to the end. And the book has also changed the way I am. I used to be in a big hurry, now I'm not. And perhaps if I could share something that happened yesterday. Yesterday I was at the train show and there was a lady with a Zimmer frame and she was struggling and she called out to me. Now in the past I was in such a hurry I might not have heard her or probably even ignored her, but I stopped and turned around and went over. And she said, there's somewhere where we are to eat. And I said, yes, I know where that is. Would you like me to take you there? So I did, and she walked slowly, but I was patient. When we got there, I sat her down, and she was confused and wanted her husband. So we tried several times to dial on my phone, and she kept on getting the number wrong. So I said, don't worry. I went up and bought her an orange juice, and Then I said, I'll go and see if I can find your husband. So I went and eventually found him and explained, and he said, look, I need a break. Can you just give me a few moments? I said, I'll sit with her and talk with her. So I went back to her, and the lady had one arm like this, and she had trouble speaking, but she was very, very happy. And I said to her, she asked me if I was a Christian. I said, yes, I am. And she said, so am I. And she said, when I was growing up, I had an encapsulated aneurysm in my head, and I was told to enjoy life because by 40 it might break out and affect my life. And so she did, and eventually it did. And she lost her vocab, and her husband helps him with that, and she can now speak. But she said she cried for 2 weeks, and then she was asleep. And she said she got a vision, and she said that both God and Jesus came down and talked to her and said, Margaret, we love you, we absolutely love you, and we are there for you. And she felt more loved than she'd ever. It was almost indescribable. And I said, well, what were they like? And she said, I can't really remember, but I know they were there, and then they left. And she said, after that, I was just happy with my condition. I was happy with life. And she was. So by that time, we'd been talking for quite some time, and I thought, gosh, you know, this is no accident that I've run into this lady. So I went to find her husband again, and he came back, and I had a talk with him, and he actually speaks German, so it gave me a wee chance to practice my German with him. And I thought, well, there's another bonus. And I couldn't get over it. The lady was so thankful, and she said, you know, what you've done's great. And I just said, no, what I've done is what any person should do, but I'm really pleased that I had the time to stop and help you. And I feel like it was not only a test for me, but a testimony to share with the church. And hopefully you can all get something out of it and not find it too long to listen to me.
Brilliant. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you very much.
Hey, when you put yourself in a place where God can use you, and that might be just an attitude more than anything, it's amazing what God opens up. Brilliant. Thank you, Andrew. I really appreciate that. Cheyenne, where are you? Come on out here. How are you going today? That's the story. Come on. So a few weeks ago, you and I were talking.
Yeah.
And you were telling me a little bit about some of the plans that you had in the future. Before you do that, just introduce yourself and tell people what class at school you're in, or what year.
My name's Cheyenne, and I'm in year 12.
At?
Correspondence.
Oh, brilliant. So in coming up in the future, what were some of the things that you were telling me about?
I'm planning to head away to Thailand on a teen mission.
Brilliant. When's that going to happen?
December.
How long are you heading away for?
6 weeks.
Brilliant. And when you're over there, what sort of things are you aware that you might be doing?
We are heading to an orphanage over there to teach English and help with their farming.
Mm-hmm. Cheyenne gave me this a few weeks ago when we started talking about that, and I haven't left it out. I've always left it in my Bible, and every time I open that up, I think of what you're doing, and I'm so impressed that here's a young lady that's really got a desire to explore, but also just see what God's going to do through you during that situation. So that's just as a question, sorry, an aside, just as a question, how many people have been overseas on something like a short-term mission? See? There's a whole heap of people out there that have got similar experiences, and we sort of understand a little bit about what that's going to be like for your life. So we, as a church, are really excited about that, not only for you, but for where God's going to take that. Because when you give something to God, he always multiplies it. Remember the story with Jesus when he said, all we've got
is some bread and a couple of fish. And what did Jesus do with that?
Feed thousands.
Fed the whole lot of people with it. And that's what I sense with your life, is that when you bring something to God, we might think it's quite small, insignificant. God expands it and grows it. So as a church, we are really, really, really excited for you as a young lady growing up, but we're really excited about the desire that God's put in your heart, but also the desire of where that's going to go in the future. That is immense. So really, really appreciate you telling us a little bit about that. So remind me, when is that starting?
The 10th of December.
10th of December. So before then, though, I'll get you back up here and we're going to pray for you before you head away. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for telling us a little bit about your story today.
Thank you.
Brilliant. As I say, I was super impressed when I sat down with Cheyenne a number of weeks ago and we started talking about that. I was so impressed. And I just remember what it was like when I did something like that. And I was, that's going back many decades now. But I've never forgotten it. And that's what I say when God expands something. We start somewhere and God just expands it. So really excited for you, Cheyenne, and the opportunities that that's going to create. Nigel Winder, come on out here, young man. You got something to confess? No, I'm having you. Come on up. We were at Elders on Wednesday night and had a bit of a chat, and you were telling us a little bit about some of the folks that you've been talking to recently.
Yes.
And I just thought it'd be a great opportunity to be able to encourage the church.
Yes, just a bit of an update on Peter and Ali Park. They send their greetings. I had a phone call from Peter the other evening. They've been back in Korea. He went back there for some medical work. I think it's cheaper over there, and a dentist that knows his teeth condition. But they're back in the North Island, in Te Puke. They were working for a Kiwi Fruit company up there, but he has now got a job in his specialist field of chemical engineering in Auckland. So they're making a move to Auckland, and Ali will be looking at doing some teaching there as well. And so they're looking forward to reconnecting with Stark, who also fellowshipped with us and went up there to work. So they just wanted me to pass on their greetings and to say how much they miss us as a church family. They hugely valued their time of fellowship here, miss us immensely, think of us often, and just rang to check in and update us all. So that was very cool. And of course, people that you will also know, Paul and Dawn Gay, they still ring regularly just to let us know that they are praying. And Paul and Dawn had the wonderful opportunity of going to Fiji for 10 days with their son Matthew, who's connected with a church over there. And while they were there, the church got them up the front in a setting a bit like this, and they laid wreaths of flowers around their necks to celebrate their 60th wedding anniversary. So that was a pretty special time for Paul and Dawn. But again, he was going to send me a photo that I could put that up and show. It hasn't come, but you can imagine them sitting there soaking all that up and loving it. And they're still very much in prayer for us as a church family, which is wonderful. Thanks, Neville.
Thank you, Nigel. Yeah, I was really encouraged when I heard from when Nigel mentioned that the other day, in terms of Paul and Dawn and Peter and Ellie. And for those who've been part of Rosedale family for a little while, we'll know them very, very well, and appreciate their greetings to our church family. Right, now, these folks are last, but they don't know they're coming up. So Graham and Diane Fletcher, can you folks come on up here, please? So just for the folks who may not know, Graham serves as chairman of elders here at Rosedale, and his very, very capable wife, Diane, supports him incredibly in that task. So, but for you folks, you're heading away shortly. Tell us just a little bit about that and what's happening and why and that kind of thing. So you can talk about amongst yourselves and sort out who's doing what.
Trying to get prepared. Di and I are going on Tuesday to Wewak in Papua New Guinea, where we occasionally spend some time, haven't been for
three years
because of the health situations. We work with Christian Books Melanesia, which provides Christian literature to the nation of Papua New Guinea. Is well respected, set up by the Christian Brethren churches, and also provides a significant amount of material for education in schools. The material provided by the government is rubbish. And the material provided by through Christian Books Melanesia by a publisher in Australia, and a lot of it written by Glenda Giles, who you may remember from Alice Road. Glenda taught Diane at Tweedsmuir when it existed. And our responsibility is in the finance role and assisting to make sure that all the financial resources are sorted. We have one major prayer need, and that is that the Papua New Guinea government is broke. And those of you who may remember back to the 1950s, 60s and 70s in New Zealand, where you couldn't get overseas funds, it's that way in PNG at the moment. But to try and pay publishers, there's a debt at the moment of over $400,000. The funds are in the bank, and the government won't allow them to be sent out of the country. So how does the supplier, the publisher, managed to provide the books? So it's a major, major, major difficulty. But God's in charge. And I'll just tell you a very, very little story. Di and I belong to a Rotary Club. Talking to a guy last week, and he says, oh, I know someone who worked in PNG in the teaching role in the 1970s. He wants to provide resources for education in PNG. He has got no relatives. He's sold a farm. I'll talk to him. So maybe. So please keep praying. And we're taking our 11-year-old granddaughter this time.
12-year-old.
Oh, 12 now. Oh, I do grow up.
Well, that's brilliant. And before you folks go, I'd just love to pray for you as and you're heading away on Tuesday. Brilliant. Okay, let's pause to pray. Father, we've heard so many stories this morning, different folks involved in different parts of life with different situations. So we want to pray especially for Graham and Diane as they head away on Tuesday. We pray for safety and for good health, but also for outcomes in terms of the ministry that's involved in that whole nation. So we pray a blessing on them as they go, help them and enable them in the tasks that they have, as well as looking to the outcomes. So we seek your face on their behalf and in behalf of the ministry of Christian Books Melanesia in the land of Papua New Guinea. So again, we just seek your face on their behalf as they go in this way and seek to serve you. And we pray a blessing on them now in Jesus' name. And everybody said?
Amen.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you. So I hope you're a little encouraged by just the fact is that, look, really seriously, we could go for a lot, lot longer. Maybe that's not such a good idea, but there are stories embedded in all the lives that are a part of our church family, and that's just a snapshot of a few of them. God is in the business of changing people's lives. And if that's through a ministry that's set up in a secular sense, like Right Track, whether it's actually working in a ministry with camps like Andrew was doing, whether that's God equipping and enabling people as they head off in short-term mission, whether that's people that are one-on-one just helping people with the really, really difficult but impacting world of depression. That's another way. It's great to be able to connect with other family members who are in different parts of New Zealand. And one of the aspects of the thing that I love about the church, when I talk about the church in its biggest sense, is that you can go to the North Island, you can go to another country, and there's something that unites and connects people together, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the cornerstone, and we sang about that this morning, and he is the reason. And we can tell people about what we have known. We saw that in our video this morning. I only know this much. This is what I know. I was blind once, but now I can see. Something's changed. And that story, as I look around this morning, has resonated with so many different people, different backgrounds, different stories, and God is in the business of changing people's lives for his glory and for our blessing. So I trust you've been encouraged this morning. I had a bucket of fun trying to, you know, putting this morning together and just listening to some of those stories and encouraging people, because it's valuable and important, A, to understand what's going on in each other's lives, but also to understand God's doing a whole lot of things, and sometimes we just don't know. So that has been great. Thank you for all those people that contributed this morning. Andrew and Andrew, Cheyenne and Graham and Diane and Nigel and Rebecca. Thank you very much. Have we got one more song? Brilliant.